Driving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We're scrubbing in.
Hello. Happy Monday. How's it going? How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty great, too.
We have Easton and Mark in the house.
Hello.
Not in the house, but in the Zoom.
In our houses.
Yeah. Yeah. They're in the house, their respective homes. And Tanya and I, this week, we're sitting across from each other, still in the same area, but now I get to stare at you instead of like worrying about my double chin and stuff while I look over at you. I'm staring across at you.
Were you really worried about it?
It's something I think about, yeah. Yeah, like the profile shot is not my fave.
I got 1 week of you next to me and that's all I get.
Well, there's future options, mm-hmm. but we had
dream.
To move. It was a lot of space maneuvering that didn't feel necessary. Really.
Yeah, this feels better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we get into the podcast, I want to remind you that Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Whether you love Valentine's Day, whether you could do without it, we have your heart and we are putting on a Galentine's Day event and it is going to be a par-tay.
Yeah, so we're going to do it on February 10th. It's going to be at 5 p.m. Pacific, which is 8 o'clock Eastern.
Good job. You mm-hmm. nail it every time.
Happy hour on the West Coast.
Late night hour
on the East Coast. But you can get your tickets at onlocationlive.com/scrubbingin and grab your gal pals, grab your drink of choice, grab your whatever you want, chocolate.
Well, I was going to say, grab your new merch. We have sweaters and we have socks and some of our previous merch is on sale, but you have to get it soon because there's limited quantity and sizes of our new merch. And we also restock the I'm a Becca, I'm a Tanya t-shirts. Those are all available at myfanthreads.com/scrubbingin. And let me tell you something. Mark is typically a hater of our mm-hmm. merch. And
that's
what did
right.
you have to say about this?
Well, not of your merch, just merch in general. I sometimes find it kind of tacky, and I'm not sure why anyone would want to own such a thing. But I look at that sweatshirt, and I think, I get that. I see scrubbers wanting that sweatshirt. That is a good-looking sweatshirt, and the socks are so cute.
Okay, you are like the antithesis of me. I'm like obsessed with merch. The more merch, the better. I actually miss concerts because I miss getting merch.
But weirdly, you and Mark are also very similar. So in some areas, you couldn't be more opposite. And then some, y'all are very similar.
It's interesting, right?
Yeah.
It is
interesting. But also, I think it's a male-female comparison, I think. Because when it comes to my sports teams, I'll take any merch you can give me.
Right.
Okay.
So I think that's where the comparison lies.
Right. And I don't own one piece of sports mm-hmm. paraphernalia.
But right.
I just want to give them a... So one of the sweatshirts is pink and it has a heart in the middle and it says Scrub Sisters and it is so cute.
It is really cute.
And then the other one is for more, I would say, the Becca's. It's like very simple. It says Scrubbing In and like a beautiful cursive font. It's very
yeah.
like understated, but like adorable.
I like the heart one. It's very Tanya.
I'm actually a fan of both. Like I'm interested in both. And then the socks... When you put
I'm
them together, they say Scrubbing In and they're red and pink. It's so cute. So check out. That'll probably go very quickly. So try and get your merch before it's gone.
Yeah. And I love Valentine's Day. It's just like a day for love. Like it's just a day about love. And who doesn't love love?
Yeah, I love love. And I'm kind of indifferent about Valentine's. I mean, like I love it. But I also, if I were single, I wouldn't be like devastated about it. But I also, I'm not single and I'm like, yeah, it's a great day.
Yeah. I mean, and I am single and I still love it because I love holidays just in general.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's just like all about love. And there, you know, you have so much love in your life, even if you are single. So
Mark Easton, as married men, how do y'all feel about the Valentine's Day holiday?
I enjoy it. It's really, at this point, it's down to pretty much just we try to get away and have a dinner. That's kind of how it's gotten at this point. We don't really do gifts anymore on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
We just try to get away for a little bit of Mark and Amy time, if we can.
Well, that's great.
I love Valentine's Day. It's the best. Those conversation hearts are like my favorite candy. Like, and I think they're back this year because the Necco Corporation has gone through a sale. But no, we love Valentine's Day. We always do something for Valentine's Day. You know, this year's different, but we're still gonna observe it and celebrate. And you know, some people say it's a Hallmark holiday to sell cards. I say bring it on. I love consumerism.
Now Easton is the king of merch.
Yes,
there's not I can't imagine an item of merchandise he would not want to get his hands on.
Yeah, and I also already bought, I don't know if you saw when you came in, I bought two little headbands for our Galentines. Like they're headbands with like hearts that like bongle around.
I know those. Yeah,
yeah. And then I got a little Valentine's Day cooking kit, like a cooking, not cooking, cookie kit.
Oh, cookie cake.
Yeah.
Okay. I have been going through, I did this phase where I had to have a McFlurry every night.
Oh, man.
Okay. It was an unhealthy habit that I developed, but I'm out of it. However, my new thing is like chocolate chip cookies at night with cold almond milk. It is like, I just lately have been on a kick where I have a healthy dinner and then I'm like, well, I need chocolate chip cookies.
You've earned this.
Yeah, literally. I earned this with the salmon and veggies I had for my appetizer. but Tanya, we had a day on Saturday, a Becca and Tanya day.
I love a Becca and Tanya day. It was so fun. So cute.
We were going to watch binge Sex and the City.
That was the plan. The plan was get together and just binge all day.
So Tanya sends me a text, which I'm sure if any of you follow us on Instagram, you saw I posted a screenshot of it. And she said, she basically said, I wish I don't have any Sex and the City gear merch, but I wish I did. But maybe we can like talk like Charlotte and Carrie would. Which took me back to, first of all, I laughed out loud when I read it because I was like, no. Have you ever read a more Tanya thing? And it took me back to when I used to play Beanie Babies with my sister, and then she all of a sudden got too old and didn't want to play Beanie Babies with me. And so I'd be like, Katie, do you want to play Beanie Babies? And she'd be like, no. Like, who plays Beanie Babies? But I realized that I was my older sister because I was like, ha.
Yeah, Becca put the kibosh on it so fast before I could even tell her or ask her. I wanted Phoebe to be Elizabeth Taylor. How cute is that?
I told her that Phoebe doesn't like role play. And she said, how do you know? And I said, it's just a gut feeling that I have to listen to on her behalf. But a lot of people were very upset with me that I just put the kibosh, as you say, on your suggestion.
Yeah.
But I did wash my matching sweats. I did a full load of laundry.
Yeah, so we wore matching sweats, which you know I love a cohesive moment. So the fact that we were matching all day made me so happy.
Did it make up for the denial of the role play?
It did. And then we ended up not even watching any Sex in the City and just watching old Taylor Swift concert videos and like talking the whole day. It was just such a great day. Like that day did things for my soul.
It was so fun. We need to do those. Like those need to be happening more than they do. But it also was like rainy and cozy. And it was just like Tanya was eating peanut M&Ms, which I mean, I don't know. That is a rare sight for her to be eating.
Not only was I eating them, I was like chowing them down to the point where I like was so nauseous going to sleep that night. Like I still was feeling that night.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you don't ever eat anything like
sugar.
That.
It was like, woof. I had headache, stomach ache. It was not good.
Yeah, but I highly recommend getting together with your best friend and putting on some live performances. I suggest Taylor, but if you're not a Taylor fan, no, then any artist. And
because here's the thing with Taylor, okay? You can tell me anything that's going on in your life, any situation, and there's a Taylor Swift song for it. Like, truly, it's the craziest thing.
Can we try this? Do y'all have any hypothetical situations that we can try and pair with a Taylor Swift song?
Well, the other night I was in my car listening to one of my playlists and How You Get the Girl came on, and that song never got its due. So what situation in life would that be good for?
Give me the lyrics again. I'm not.
And that's how it works. That's how you get the girl. I want you for worse or for better. Tanya, what do you mean? It's a living right here, Tanya's relationship.
It is? I'm not super familiar with that one to like know.
It, off the top of my head, that's well, there's a lot that could relate to your relationship.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. It was just like I was in the car with one of my girlfriends, Raquel, and we were just going through the songs, and I was just like, there's literally a Taylor Swift song for any situation. So actually, why don't we do it when we go through the emails? When we bring the emails, I'll give you a Taylor Swift song for each email.
Okay, oh, that's good. That's smart. I like
that's
that.
That's a good way to do it.
Mark did try to do it in reverse, and you can't like do that.
Okay, fair enough.
Like, you need to give me a situation, and then I'm like, okay, I got it.
It doesn't work that way, Mark.
Yeah, you gotta, play the rules. Play by the rules, Mark.
What else happened? I mean, I imagine that we talked about everything you did this week. But,
My honey jar.
Huh?
I made a honey jar.
Your intention thing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Explain this to me because it looked messy.
No, it's not messy at all. So sticky. Okay. So what you do is you write down your intentions. So whatever it is. And it can be like if you're fighting with a friend or you're fighting with a family member or you're fighting with a coworker, whatever, that's something in your life that you just like want to sweeten. So just think about whatever in your life you want to sweeten. So for me, it was like intentions that I had. And so I wrote them all down on a piece of paper. Then you read them over and really just like imagine them like happening. Okay. Then you roll up the piece of paper, you put it in a mason jar. And then you fill the mason jar with honey. Close the mason jar. You put a tea light on the top of the jar. And those tea lights last about 2 hours. So while it's burning, you just think about your intentions like coming to light. And you do that every night. And everybody, I got a couple DMs of people saying how wasteful that is of the honey. But you're actually supposed to use the honey. So whenever I have tea or whatever, I'm going to go in the jar and take a scoop and use it as my honey.
That you wrote paper and pen?
Uh-huh.
Is that not contaminated now?
I mean, come on.
Is it not?
I mean, I'm sure it is, but like I probably put way worse in my body.
Oh, I mean, for sure I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I don't do it intentionally. Like, you know, no. Is it Sharpie or just regular
pen? It was just regular pen. But it's like I have like xylitol in my gum and stuff. You know, like what's a little pen ink going to do?
Oh, yeah. Probably nothing.
Yeah. So I did it on Sunday and it was just like it felt so good. And, you know, I just like I'm such a fan of.
Yeah. You love setting intentions.
I just love outward expressions of an inward feeling. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I love feeling things on the inside, but doing something on the outside to like, I don't know.
Well, so I'm looking for houses right now, which, by the way, it is a real competitive situation out here. I'll let you know. If you're looking to buy a house in the LA County area, strap your boots on because
which is so weird because I feel like everybody's trying to move out of LA right now, but clearly not.
I mean, I think a lot of people are moving out, but I still think there's a lot of people buying houses. Apparently, that's what I'm realizing. But on my vision board, I have always wanted like a separated bathtub, you know, like a standalone bathtub. I don't know if that's the term for it. You know what I'm talking about.
Like a clawfoot bathtub?
Yeah. Just like one that's like beautiful and is by itself. And all the homes I've looked at have had built in. And so I'm like.
Built in like at the, it's like the bottom of the shower?
Yeah, or just like a typical bathtub where it's like, yeah, built in like that or built in where it's just not like a standalone bathtub.
Got it.
And so now I'm in my head, every house I look at when the bathtubs are not the standalone, I'm like, it's not the one. And then I'm like, but wait, can't I redo the bathroom and make it that? So I'm torn between if the home that I get is, I'm going to know and it's going to have the standalone bathtub or if I'm overthinking and I can build my dream bathroom. But I don't want to have to redo a bunch of stuff, so.
No, I think
as
that.
As an outward expresser, what are your thoughts?
Okay, let me tell you. I believe, especially in things like this,
okay,
the home that's for you, you're just going to, it's going to be like, oh, if you have a question, if you're hemming and hawing, it's a no.
I know.
No. When it's your home, when it feels right, you're just going to be overwhelmed with a sense of like, this is it.
Is my claw bathtub going to be there?
I can't say. I can't say yes or no because you're just going to feel it.
Well, I just keep thinking about last year's vision board and how I had that cabin on there and then coincidentally went to the exact same cabin. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, then I'm going to find a beautiful home at my price range in Malibu overlooking the ocean, because that's where my vision board photo where the bathtub is.
There you go. You never know.
Well, I really appreciate...
Shoot for the moon.
I really appreciate your... I don't always understand them, like the honey thing, but I do respect it because I think a lot of that stuff is hopeful and represents a lot of what you stand for.
First of all, I've never heard of it before. And so one of my boss actually was telling me about it. And I was just like, this is the most T-Rad thing I have ever heard of. How have I never made a honey jar in my life before? And then she was like, yeah, you can do it if you're like fighting with somebody or whatever. She's like, you know, it just like it sweetens things. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, what a great idea. I'm like making honey jars every night and just have like all this honey in my house.
Just like endless intentions in the honey jar. Endless amounts of ink in the honey jar.
Yeah. But that was a real treat. I don't know. Like, I just feel like I'm, you know, turning a corner in terms of just happiness.
Are you at a place like, do you feel like, because you want to get married, you want to have kids, like that is like a goal of yours, right? Like for those things to come to fruition.
I wouldn't say it's like a goal.
Not a goal, but a desire.
Yeah.
And you have a certain time limit in your head of when you want it to happen.
Not necessarily.
But like,
because I'd rather be the right person.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're not going to just like end up with anyone.
Yeah. Because if that was the case, then I would have like probably done it with somebody a long time ago.
Do you feel like you're like ready to jump on the dating horse again?
No.
Yeah.
No.
So you're just like healing yourself, finding your happiness through being single, reflecting, setting intentions, et cetera.
Et cetera. Because you know what's interesting is like I think that we're always in such a rush to get to the next stage or the next phase, or like, you know, I went through a breakup and I just need to jump back in and like whatever. But it's so interesting. So I posted this story on my Instagram and I was like, I was going for a run and I was cleaning out my apartment and saging and like all, you know, the Tanya things. And this woman like wrote me, she DM'd me and she was like, you are living my dream life right now. And she goes, I have a baby throwing up on my chest, another one potty training, my husband just wants to have sex with me all the time, and I feel very unsexy. I would give anything to be in your shoes right now. And I was just like, wow. She's like living the dream, you know what I mean? She has a husband whom I'm sure she loves very much, and she has two kids, and you know what I mean? And she's sitting here telling me that she would give anything to have my day of saging and cleaning and going for a run, you know? And so it's just like, I'm trying to be really grateful for just like the present of where I am in life right now. And like, I can wake up whenever I want and I can have a slow breakfast and I can, you know what I mean? Like FaceTime with whoever I want, whenever I want. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to kind of be grateful for that right now.
That's really good perspective.
Let's dig in on the complaining about the fact that your husband wants to have sex with you all the time a little bit.
Well, I don't think she was complaining, but I think she just feels very unsexy. She has like vomit on her.
Understood. But I feel like the guy sees that as a compliment because he sees her as sexy and this is how he shows that. And she's seeing it as a negative. Couldn't that be seen as a positive if you spun it the right way? Isn't it all how you look at it?
Well, I think it's more so like she probably really appreciates having a husband who sees her as sexy, even in that moment of like new motherhood and potty training with throw up on her. But in her mind, she's like, I feel like I'm failing when I don't want to have sex because I don't feel good about myself. So I don't necessarily think she's complaining about him wanting to have sex as much as she's just like, I'm trying to do it all and it's a lot for me right now.
I didn't even think she was complaining about him wanting to have sex. I think she was just like, I would just like to just
be alone. Just
overwhelmed.
Yeah, I would just like to sage my house and go for a run too, you know? Like I think it was just like as simple as that.
Yeah.
But it was like such a, I don't know, did something to me mentally. Like I was like, oh, you know what? I really just need to just be really rooted in gratitude for the season of life that I'm in right now.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a big difference too between like making someone feel sexy and wanting to have sex with them. And I think a lot of dudes miss that. And I think that's what's happening there. I mean, just from that one sentence, that's what I got out of that.
that he's like, he wants sex, but he's not necessarily like making her feel desired, but he wants
sex. I think it's like I want sex and I want now versus like,
that's
like
very possible.
Yeah. Like because you can make someone feel sexy without having sex with them. I don't know how to do it, but I'm told there's ways.
That's true. I was like the queen of that.
I got some, I like posted a thing of what's something irrational that you've gotten sad or mad about when you're PMSing. And this girl, I posted, it was so funny to me though, because she said, my husband told me he was off, like was off work today or something. And I got so upset because like, I just wanted to be alone. And I thought she was going to say I got so emotional because I was so happy that we were going to have a day together. And then the end took like a U-turn. It was like, I'm so mad because now I don't get my alone time. But I think that's very human. And I think that if it's happening every day and you're like, don't want to spend any time with the person, or you're mad every time they're off work or have free time, that's something to look into. But I think it's very normal to crave that alone time and just sit if that's all you want to do.
Yeah. So I think I'm just trying to like, in my life, I am very goal oriented and like, this is what I want next and this is what I'm going to go after. And I'm just trying to like, take the advice of these books that I've been reading and just try to be very present. And I mean, like, I had a really great weekend, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, had Greek night here, ordered Greek food, wore a cute white dress, like Zoomed with one of my girlfriends out of town, and like had fun festive Friday, spent all Saturday with my best friend watching Taylor Swift videos, dancing and crying and eating M&Ms, and then making my honey jar on Sunday. Like, what a great weekend.
Superb. Truly. Well, on another note, I literally thought someone was in my home last night when I was by myself. Not last night, yesterday afternoon. But before I talk about that, we're going to take a break. All right, we are back. So yesterday, I am in my, what'd you say? That I have an apartment or town? What is my place? Like a condo? Townhouse? I don't know. It's weird because the setup's like, it's not like, what do you call yours?
Apartment.
Okay, so my apartment. All the units are close to each other. So like, a lot of times I keep Phoebe's patio door open so she can go in and out to the grass. And I can hear if someone opens their door, it makes the same noise that my door makes. And the only two doors in my house that make that noise are the front door and then my patio door up on my roof, which you get to from my bedroom. So yesterday I'm in the kitchen and I was about to go look at a house and I'm making lunch and I hear the noise go off. And Phoebe wasn't there with me. So like she didn't bark or anything because she wasn't there. And I'm looking at my front door and it's just closed and locked. And I'm like, has someone entered my home upstairs? Like, is someone in my bedroom? So I panic. I do the first thing, logical thing. I go on Instagram and tell everybody what's going on. And, and to be honest, I was just kind of like, realistically, what is it? And then I really started getting in my head because I am like, I have a full security system everywhere in my house except up there for some reason, because no one ever really goes up there. It's normally just stays locked and shut. So I take a knife, I go upstairs because I don't have a bat, I don't have anything. I take a knife, I go upstairs, and I'm looking in like every nook and cranny I can find. I'm looking under the bed, I look in the shower, I look in the bathtub, I look in the closets. There was a lot of load of laundry on my bed. I looked under that in case it could have fit. You know, you just don't know. could have camouflaged in there. And so I go up and the friggin' patio door is unlocked. It's shut, but it's unlocked. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to call. Haley was over and she went and took a call out there. And so when she had come back in, I said, hey, did you lock that door when you came in? And she goes, yeah. And that was like the end of the conversation. I should have gone and checked, but I didn't because I was trying to let go of my OCD need to check. And so I call her and I'm like, hey, when you came back in the other day, are you 100% certain that you locked that door? And she was like, I don't have a visual image of me locking it because I walked out. It was sunny. And so I came back. It was too sunny. So I came back in. But I don't think I locked it. I think I just shut it. So like if that door had been locked, I wouldn't have thought twice about it. I would have thought like, okay, maybe that was the neighbor's door I heard. But because it was open, I'm freaking. Yeah. I'm paranoid. I'm on high alert. I've now convinced myself that maybe they put like a secret, like they bugged my room.
I've thought that before. Like they so like there's psycho. Like a camera in here. Remember when I had Lucky Charm? I don't even know what we called whatever. I don't even know what we called them on the podcast. I literally, Screen Time.
Oh,
when he came and stayed with me for 5 days. Remember, I was like
Lucky Charm. I was like, he
bugged my apartment. I was like, there was a video camera in here somewhere. Like I was paranoid for like a month after he left.
I'm so paranoid, and I like know in my head that it was just, it didn't get locked. It was probably the neighbors, but like my psycho brain goes to a dark place. So yeah, dealing with that.
You know what's interesting? I actually thought about sleeping with a bat next to my bed lately.
It's not smart. And I have a taser by my bed.
Should I have mace next to my bed?
I don't, I would
what's
have
better,
something.
Mace or a bat?
I mean,
you gotta think about which one you're less likely to use on yourself.
Yeah, that's what
you
know,
like
on
myself.
You might point the wrong way, like
ugh. Yeah.
Oh, but right.
A bat could be taken from you, so I don't know. Have both.
Yeah, just double down. Really, the options are endless. But I ordered this thing, so like on my sliding doors, I have this thing where it blocks, so even if someone unlocks it, they can't get in because it's blocked. So I have that on there now. I feel fully just set up, safe, etc.
When I was a kid, I remember my friend's family, I don't know where we had been, but they dropped me off at my house. And they lived right down the street, but on the way, it was only a block, but they just pulled over so I could get out. And I walk up to my house, and no one's home, and I knew no one was going to be home. But the front door was wide open, and it was after dark. And I was like, I don't know, 9. And I was like, no, this is not good. And I remember so distinctly running down to the Schrader's house. Mrs. Schrader. Like I could barely speak. I was so frightened. And telling her what happened, she called the cops. The cops came and I could still remember seeing my dark house and they wouldn't turn lights on. I'm not sure why the police didn't turn lights on, because I remember seeing the flashlights going back and forth inside my house as they looked around my house. If you turn lights on, it'd be a much more thorough search. Anyway, nobody was in there. My dad had left the door open when he left, and boy, was my mom pissed at my dad that night.
Oh. That is so scary for a 9-year-old.
It was scary for little Marky, yeah.
Little Marky Mark. Well, yeah, I realize I can be, I'm already hyper paranoid. Like, I have all the things. I've always had a camera up there, and then I took it down because I had to record a sponsored post for it, so I just never put it back up. So that thing's going, my Furbo camera is going right up there, telling you. So that was the excitement of my day and probably for the next month or so where I don't sleep well.
That would, yikes.
It's fine. I'm protected. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Pray about it.
Same.
Are we going to play our truth or dare game? I mean, our truth, true or false game or whatever it is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so there's this trend on Instagram where people say like true or false statements, and then whoever is doing the game, they answer if it's true or if it's false and kind of explain.
Right. So like example, somebody would say true or your hair is naturally brown.
And I would say true. But I have highlights and extensions, and my hair also is gray because I'm like a 84-year-old inside, I guess. So that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah.
So anyway,
it is kind of true. You do have a lot of grays.
I have so many gray hairs.
I know. I was shocked at that.
Yeah. So Easton and Mark have the questions. Tanya and I haven't seen them, so we have no idea what they are. So we're going in blind.
Mm-hmm.
All right, these are very specific to you guys, though. These aren't general things like your hair is naturally brown.
Right. I just use that as an example.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, good. Mm-hmm. All right, I will begin. Becca, you kind of knew Red Star was not the one for Tanya. True or false?
Ooh, you're really starting out with a bang.
Yeah.
This is so hard. I mean, can I be honest? This is my truth. I thought that he could be the one, but I thought that there were a lot of challenges that they would face if he was the one. And I could also see her falling in love with someone else and having that relationship. That's literally how my brain has worked through your whole relationship. Like, he's wonderful. He's a great guy, but he did have, there were certain things that made the relationship more challenging that I thought, could Tanya find someone and have a deep love for someone else? And I thought, yes. So that's my answer, even though it's not necessarily directly true or false. That was tough.
Well, you got to start strong. Easton, you're up.
All right, this is for Tanya. True or false, Tanya has used a horoscope as an excuse to not date someone.
Very true.
Who? Or what was that? What was their sign?
Gemini.
Oh yeah, you really aren't. Hey, Hink's a Gemini. Oh. But she's great.
You know, here's the thing. I do know one Gemini that I like love very dearly. Like, he's like one of the greatest men in the entire world. He's my mentor. Uh-huh. He's a Gemini. And so I don't think all Geminis are bad, but they definitely have two sides of them. And so they can be two good sides, but you just, it's murky waters.
Okay.
I don't know that you should rule out 8.3% of the population when it comes to dating people. And I also don't think you should insult 8.3% of our listeners who are Geminis.
I know. Anytime I say stuff about Geminis on my Instagram, I get so much hate from people being like, we're not all that bad.
Wait, Becky, who's on our Zoom, she goes, I'm a Gemini. Sad face.
My mother, yeah, who you've met, is a Gemini.
Wow.
And she's
wow.
a delightful woman.
Yes, I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm just saying for me, particularly, if I'd rather steer clear.
All right. Becky, sorry, all right. Tanya will not be into
I will
you.
Not be dating you, Becky.
True or false, Becca secretly loves Tanya's neediness.
False. But I love okay, well, y'all are, I mean, I guess these are just going to be controversial like answers for me the whole time, but I love Tanya for who she is, but I don't secretly love neediness from anyone. Like, I don't love neediness, but I love Tanya, and I am willing, because we're best friends, to compromise when she needs a long hug to give that to her. Would you agree?
I agree.
Yeah.
All right, Tanya, true or false, if you didn't have the podcast, you two wouldn't be as close, or you would have drifted apart.
I think that's false, but I do think that the podcast definitely helped us in this pandemic stay closer. I think the pandemic kind of forced everybody a little bit to just kind of be in their own little silos, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when the world started opening back up again, we like made more of an effort. But I think the pandemic in the beginning, I think the podcast kept us closer. But aside from that, no.
Yeah, I don't fully agree. But I think without the podcast, we still would have been close. But I think it brought us closer, just like anything when you're doing something together.
Yeah. But remember in the beginning when we were like having to like Zoom and like, I was just not in a good place.
No, none of us were.
Yeah.
All right, Becca, true or false? You spend more on fast food in a week than grocery store food in a week.
Okay, up until recently, that would be true. But since I've been back from Louisiana for Christmas, I've had fast food one time, which was In-N-Out.
That's really?
Wow. That is impressive.
Thank you. I've been cooking and trying to eat healthier than ever before. I feel better too, but sometimes I get a hankering for one of my favorite fast food joints. And if I do, like, I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast, but I got a stomach virus the last day I was in Louisiana, and the last thing
I
ate was Cane's. Which was devastating. Yeah, Easton, wide eyes, I know. So, I haven't craved fast food because that's what I threw up. you know? So it's a weird blessing in a way. But yeah, so lately I've been spending more on groceries because that's what I've been eating.
All right, Tanya, true or false, you were very popular in high school.
Okay, this is actually, so in my reality, I always say I was not popular in high school because I was like such a nerd. Like I had like the, like, you know, like I started the Shakira John Mayer fan club and like I was like the spirit leader in all the assemblies and stuff like that. But my best friend, John Hale, was the most popular guy in school. And so he would like make all the football players sign up for my club and like, you know, people like I was liked, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't consider myself popular. Does that make sense?
But you hung with the cool crowd.
I hung with every crowd.
Oh, okay.
Look, John Hill's the best.
I know.
And also, I could see you getting residual popularity just kind of from him. Like you would get, it would kind of ooze off of him and you would gain it in return.
Trickle down popularity.
Yeah. Like, so I would say like, I wouldn't say I was necessarily popular, but I would, people liked me and I didn't necessarily have like, I wasn't like part of the popular group, but I wasn't like not.
I think that's the best way to be.
Yeah, yeah. I was kind of scattered around.
People like you. You have a lot of friends, but you're not in that group that everyone kind of dislikes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Becca, you're scared to have children, true or false?
True.
I don't blame you.
Oh. It is like, it's weird because I'm very naturally maternal. So like, I'm not scared of me being able to be a mom or anything like that. Doesn't scare me at all. Like I think if someone brought a child to me and said, I'm sorry, I gotta go, you gotta take care of this thing, I could do it and do it well. However, the idea of raising children in this world right now and TikTok and all this terrifies me. But
look,
so
it terrifies me.
Yeah,
because even when you have kids and you feel like you got it down, you're terrified of the next step. Mm-hmm. Like right now, I've got a teenager and a preteen. I'm scared to death of having two teenagers. Like, you know, whatever coming next, that's scary. So it's all scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But, you know, sometimes you got to do things that scare you. So, like, I'm not saying with
you know
me
what
being
they
scared,
say.
What?
If it doesn't challenge you,
doesn't change you. It's lives by every situation, you can apply that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All right, speaking of challenging you, true or false, Tanya, you have a higher tolerance for alcohol than Becca does.
For sure.
Yeah, because she drinks more than I do.
That's right.
But it used to be reversed. That was not the case. Like when I was living my life and just out and drinking, I was like, I could handle some liqueur.
That's true. But I think I could still outdrink you then.
Really?
Yeah. Girl.
Well, nah, the answer is truth because I go down quick these days.
Tequila Tanya knows what's up.
Tequila Becca also knows what's up in a different way.
True or false, Becca, you still have a box of roses from The Bachelor in your apartment.
Okay, if you know me at all, you know that is false. As if I would be able to keep that. That would be a true for Tanya. But
for
me, no, like... All the girls were trying to preserve theirs and keep them safe, and mine were like smushed in my suitcase somewhere. And I was like, finally, I was like, all right, gotta get rid of these.
Sad.
Yeah. Well, it was sad that I got dumped twice in a row. So.
Yeah, I would only hold on to them if it like ended well.
I might have done that, but also maybe the final rose or something.
Yeah.
Are they real roses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the girls like dried them out, like would hang them and dry them out. I didn't have time for that. I was sleeping when I could.
I still have my boutonniere from senior prom that I, that I dried out and kept.
I did all that stuff too. And then it just like kind of got weird like to keep it. You know what I mean?
Does, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
really
yeah,
weird.
Yeah. That's weird. Yeah. Easton actually weirdly threw that out a few days ago.
Yeah. I would just maybe toss it.
You know, I'm just going through stuff. And, yeah. It's weird. Hey, Tanya, true or false, you are not a pet person.
I don't have a pet, so I'm not a pet person, but I do want a pet.
You don't dislike animals, right?
No, I love animals. And
would
like,
you get a pet single?
You know what's funny? A friend of ours, Tawny, was like, you should get a cat. And I was like,
yeah,
I can't.
She loves her cat.
She loves her cat. And I was just like, I cannot be the single cat lady. Like, just I can't. Like,
cats
I can't.
Cats are too aloof for Tanya.
Yeah, I was like, I can't do it.
Cats are very Becca.
Yeah. I don't love that comparison. Like, cats, I respect cats, but I also, I don't particularly gravitate towards cats. So that's, you know, I actually think that I'm more of just Phoebe, which is just like standoffish and does her own thing.
Yeah, like I like playing with other people's pets, but I don't think I'm ready to have the responsibility of having my own pet.
Phoebe loves Tanya. That's like, true. She freaks out and like will not leave her alone for the first 10 minutes.
I know. I'm like, Phoebe, I'm hugging you. Like, I'm loving you. What do you want? What else do you want from me?
Yeah.
All right, Easton, pick one more good one.
All right.
I'll end with this one. True or false, Becca? You're still going strong with 95p.
True.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
It's a happy ending.
All right, Tanya, true or false, you are a bigger Grays fan than Becca.
I'd say false just because I haven't been watching it as long. But I'd say false.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have to say false.
But I feel like you've watched each episode more times, maybe.
True. And it's like fresher. And I watch it probably more often than you do because I watch it weekly.
Until you have YouTubed musical montages of Derek and Meredith scenes.
That's what we should do on our next day.
Yes.
Yeah.
I haven't done it in so long. I'm so... I hope that the ones that I love are still up there.
By the way, we got news today that Grey's is now March 11th. They pushed it back yet another week.
Oh my gosh. Mark, with the bad news.
So I have found myself lately watching like the older seasons, and I like forget that Derek was married before Meredith.
Well, yeah.
I forget these things because they were like so each other's person. And you know me, I like draw the parallels. I'm like, oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah.
You know, that reminds me. Do you know I would be absolutely thrilled if they brought Addison back? She was just on Private Practice. She's still living and everything. What?
I don't know if I would like for her to come back.
I literally loved Addison so much. I went on to private practice.
I liked her, but I'd rather like Arizona come back or like April.
I would be happy with Arizona and Callie coming back. Mm-hmm. That'd make me happy. April would be great. Mm-hmm. Alex would be great. Christina would be great.
Oh, Christina. Like, can we get Christina back?
I'm sorry, but this is sitting next to me in the chair and I just...
I tried again.
It's just so if you're listening, it is a Fender ukulele, pink as it would be.
You guys, it's really, I'm not going to lie, it's kind of defeating.
Becca, the third box from the head, uh-huh. Hold down the string on the very bottom.
Okay.
Just that string, strum it. That's out of tune, but that should be a nice sounding chord.
That sounds pretty out of tune. So, if Tanya, you might need to have someone tune it before you're able to, like, do anything with it.
Honestly, it's been very defeating, and I just want to shout out to anybody that listens to Scrubbing In that plays any sort of instrument. My hat is tipped to you because this has really been the downfall. Like, you know, I'm Tanya, and I can do whatever I set my mind to, and I can achieve any goal, and I just, you know, if you don't succeed at first, you try again, and you keep trying, and this is really
I have to tell you something though. You could literally have John Mayer coming to play this, and if it's out of tune, it's gonna sound bad.
Oh, it's out of tune. Well, how do? Oh,
yeah. As I said, you need to have someone tune that. No matter what you do, it's gonna sound like bad.
My gosh!
I can show you how to tune it, Tanya.
Yeah,
there's also YouTube. Lots of YouTube videos on that.
My dog has fleas. That's the ukulele tuning.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Okay, maybe I'll go back and start there, because let me tell you, I have felt very like deflated over that, to the point where like I'm not giving up yet, but it's teetering.
Well, I want to encourage you to get it tuned and then try again.
Okay, yeah. I can do that.
If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. It's cute. It's a pink ukulele. Matches something in your house, I'm sure. I think we have some emails, which I'm really excited to read now that we're going to take it back to a Taylor Swift song.
Me too.
Solid emails today.
Yeah, solid emails. But we are going to take another break, and we'll be right back with some emails. All right, we are back, Mark. We have some tough emails, so we're gonna give our best advice, and then we'll see if there is a Taylor Swift relatable song.
Before we do that, I got to recommend this show to you. Now, it's a little bit outside the box from what we normally recommend here and what I normally recommend. But here's how it goes. Saturday night, I was... So the way it works in my house is I say goodnight to my youngest, my 11-year-old, and then I wait while my wife finishes tidying up and doing her nightly ablutions. And then she joins me and we watch a show together.
What's an ablution?
It's like your just kind of your nightly...
Routine.
Grooming rituals. Yeah.
I'm going to start using that.
Teeth,
ablution. I need to do my nightly ablutions.
I do like the word. It is a fun word to say.
Yeah, I'm going to start ablutions. I'm going to start using
Please
that.
Please do.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Listen to the morning show. I'll bring it up. I'll say it one day this week.
Okay. So I just finished putting down my daughter, and I was on Twitter, and I saw a bunch of people recommending a show on Hulu. It's called Derek Delgaudio's In and of Itself. And I thought, what the hell is this? Why are these people that I know and respect on Twitter recommending this show,
celebrities and such. That's the best part.
Yeah. People like, you know, like Judd Apatow, Stephen Colbert. I think these people are funny and they're all recommending this show. And I thought, that's interesting. So I looked up a review of it and the reviewer was absolutely floored by it. So I was like, well, you know what? I got an hour. I'm going to watch this thing. What the hell? I'm going to call an audible, which is not my routine. I have a strict routine every day of my life and every hour. I'm very regimented. Rather, I'm going to watch this. So I turn it on. So what it is, it's a live show they did in New York like 550 times. And they recorded a bunch of them, filmed a bunch of them, and spliced them together. And it's this guy who he does some magic and he tells some stories. And that alone made me think like, all right, maybe I'll try this. I cannot tell you how blown away I was by this show. Not because of the magic. I cried twice. It is so incredibly moving. A lot of it is about your true identity.
Oh.
Who you are.
Keep going.
And exactly. I saw you rolling your eyes when I said the word magic, and I knew you would.
Yeah.
When the people arrive at this show, they see, and this is right at the beginning, so I'm not spoiling anything. It's a wall of hundreds and hundreds of little cards, and each one says, I am, and then, you know, there's 500 answers. I am a father. I am a producer. I am amazing. I am a musician. I am everything, whatever. There's hundreds of these. And the audience member each is supposed to take one that they think describes them.
The best.
And their true identity. Even if it's not who other people think they are, they know that this is who they really are. And I don't want to give anything else away because that plays a big role in how this goes forward. But I thought, I'm just going to watch a few card tricks before my wife comes to bed. And I'm sitting there crying. It's incredible.
Oh,
wait, what's it on? What streaming
Hulu.
Service?
It's on Hulu.
Okay.
Derek Delgaudio's In and of Itself. It's like nothing I've ever seen before.
Oh, I am thrilled. I've been watching Amazing Race.
I love shows about identity. Like, are you kidding me? Nothing's...
Yes.
Yeah.
I love an emotional breakthrough show.
So as soon as it was done, I texted Easton and I said, you got to watch this.
It's on our list. We're going to watch it next couple days.
Good.
I'm gonna watch this week and I'll have a report back on Monday.
Please do. Sure. And I hope people find it because it's a gem. And
how
I
many
had never
episodes?
Heard of it. It's just one. It's a movie, really. It's an hour and a half.
Okay.
It's just one thing.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Emails. Here we go. And what Taylor Swift song do they relate to? This one's from Samora. I've never been comfortable or felt really myself dating or sleeping with men. I finally came out at the age of 25, but I had never been in a relationship before that. I thought coming out would explain everything, and hopefully I would now get my happily ever after. I'm now 35, and I've still never been in a relationship. It's my biggest insecurity. I was in an off and on again thing with someone for years, but there are never any sparks or butterflies. Do you think there really is someone for everyone?
See, now I'm so fixated on trying to find the Taylor Swift song.
Oh my
that I'm
gosh,
not.
Tanya.
But I mean,
she does not care about the Taylor Swift
okay,
reference.
Okay, but for me, it's easy because I do believe that there's somebody for everybody, and I definitely don't think that just how she's 35 now and she said she still hasn't found it. I don't think that means anything.
Or really anybody. She's never been in a relationship.
I don't necessarily think that means anything. I just think that it's just taking, you know, everybody has their own timing in life and there's a reason why you haven't met that person. I think that person maybe is still being made to be your partner. and being perfected in that way, you know? And so, yeah, I don't know. I'm a hopeless romantic, so I do think that there's somebody out there for you, and I wouldn't be worried about it.
I think that... I think it's hard. I think it's easy to say that when you have experienced those sparks and butterflies, you know?
You say it again?
Like, I think it's easy to be hopeful when you have experienced, even if it was short-lived or if it wasn't reciprocated, to experience that, whether it's with a guy or girl, whatever the case. Like, I think it's, I just want to say some more that, like, I can understand why you are questioning things and feeling discouraged by this, because I think a lot of us experience that spark and butterfly. I mean, even early on, like I had it for people who didn't reciprocate it for me or enough for it to be a relationship, but I got that butterfly feel, that, yeah, that spark when you saw them, of like excitement that you really can't even explain. It's like not even a tangible thing that you can like put into words. And then in my relationship now, it's the first relationship where it has been reciprocated. And I think now, knowing that you haven't really experienced it with women or men, I think that can kind of take the pressure off like your identity or your sexuality, whatever that may be. And just know that it can come out of nowhere and it can happen. It could happen this year. It could happen tomorrow. It could take a few years for that to happen, but don't feel discouraged that it's never going to happen. And maybe this would be something where you could talk to someone, and maybe there's walls up where you don't even allow your brain to go there, where you can experience that feeling. Cause it's kind of scary to feel that feeling of like not really having control over your heart and your brain. And there's like so much happening. And maybe,
but you know, they say when you're looking to the north, it just hits you from the south.
But I do think there's people that specialize in, you know, intimacy and sexuality and kind of figuring out, maybe there's something going on and it has nothing to do with anyone else. And maybe you've put up these walls or these blockers where you are scared to feel that. I don't know. I just want to say, like, don't get so defeated that you give up on the possibility of it happening, but also know that it's okay to reach out for help and talk to someone who might be able to help guide you and figure out what's going on. And then there's people who are asexual and they don't feel those like intimate sparks and feelings towards anyone. And they have people that are their partner and their friends. And it could be the case for you, but everyone's different and everyone experiences these moments at different times. Some people can look back on a time where they were a child and had that spark and butterfly. And then some people, it takes many, many years. And so just know that there's time for everybody. And who knows if I don't know that I'm as hopeful as Tanya, but I do like to say that there's someone out there that can be a partner for you. And I do believe that.
Yeah, I just think if it's such a desire of your heart, like, you know, I really do believe if it's a desire of your heart that it will get fulfilled.
Yeah, I like to believe that too. But you there has to be, you know, willingness to be hopeful.
True.
And not give up.
True. So. And I mean, it's like Matthew Hussey always says, you have to just like, you can't just like sit there and be like, hope love comes my way. You know, you have to like be proactive. Get out there. Meet some people.
Tough to do these days, but I think you both had really good advice and you both come at it from a different angle. I feel like for Becca, I feel like the sparks and butterflies have been more rare in your life, where Tanya, I feel like you get sparks and butterflies pretty regularly. So it's good to hear from both sides.
I get the sparks, I get the butterflies, I get the tingles in my vagina. It's just a lot.
I'm very picky where I allow those. Like, I'm like, because you do kind of, sometimes I think your brain can shut off when you fear getting rejected or if it's not reciprocated. Sometimes for me, I can be like, I'm not even going to let myself go there and feel anything because I could get hurt if I do that.
You know what? I got a lot of messages from women just saying like asking me if I'm going to start dating again, and if I'm going to get back on the horse, because they're just like, heartbreak is so painful. Like, honestly, I feel like it's like one of the worst feelings ever. I would not even wish it upon my worst enemy. That sometimes I think people get scared to even put themselves back out there again because of that fear of losing it again. You know, like, it freaking sucks. Like, it's like the worst pain ever. And just, it's like almost like you keep putting yourself back on this treadmill to just get hurt again, you know? But it's like, if you don't put yourself on that treadmill, then you're just going to stay where you are. And if you're happy where you are, then that's fine. There's, you know, no problem with that. But if you want something else, then you just have to just faith over fear it. Mm-hmm. Do it. What is it, the saying? It's like, do it with fear.
Oh, Mark, you had this quote. Yeah. It was something about doing it even
if you're scared. Yeah, like if you're scared, just do it scared or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Something
like that. If you're scared to do it, then just do it scared or something.
Okay, my Taylor Swift song for this.
Yeah, I have one.
What?
Endgame. I want to be your endgame. So that is the person that's out there. They're singing that to you.
Mine's Treacherous. It's like the fear of putting yourself out there to get hurt.
Both good.
And I believe the quote is, if you can't beat fear, do it scared.
Yeah. That's it.
Can you text me that? I like that.
Sure. All right, this is from Anonymous. My best friend blindsided me this week. We were drinking and playing games with friends, and she told us she was going to ask her brother to be her man of honor in her wedding. We've been best friends for 12 years. She was my maid of honor. I have a very small circle of friends, and at this point in my life, I truly can't see anyone else asking me to be their maid of honor. I always thought she would be mine, and I would be hers, and it hurts on so many levels. It makes me feel like maybe we aren't as close as I thought we were. Do I say something to her, or is that too selfish? I totally get that her wedding day is not about me, but how do I shake this off? What song should we pick for this one?
Yeah, shake it off. This one's really... just led right to it there.
You want to start?
Yeah, I mean, I think my advice on this is, it's her day, and if she wants her brother to be her man of honor, then you need to just let her do that. This isn't, I know it hurts your feelings, but a lot of things hurt your feelings, you know what I mean? Like, and that's okay, because her wedding isn't about you. So as much as it sucks, and I'm sorry, like, it is painful, like, that would hurt my feelings, but at the end of the day, it's really not about you. So I wouldn't say anything.
And I think a lot of times, I don't know if she only has a brother or if she has a sister, but if she had a sister, a lot of people have their sisters. Like, my sisters will probably be maid of honors. Like, you know, it'll be that it's my sister. Yeah. And you'll be a bridesmaid.
Oh.
But, like, I think as a best friend, your job.
I'm kidding.
I mean, whatever. Just roll my eyes and move on. But I think as a best friend, your job in this friendship and when it's her wedding is to show up and be a maid of honor. Do everything that you can to make her day the best day ever, because it's about her. And if her brother being up there standing by her side is what she wants, then you show up and you be the best bridesmaid and friend that you can be.
And also, it's like her brother, like, no offense, he's probably not going to, you know what I mean, want to do any details.
He's
like,
not planning the bachelorette party.
That's what I'm saying.
No, like you need to get the penis straws and all the things.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, like get the role, like the title of the role out of your head and be that person. Like, take on the role of maid of honor and do whatever you can to step up.
You know what I like about that?
Whoa, she's pointing at me hard.
Because we're so fixated on titles and boxes and things. And it's just like, so you're not the maid of honor. Mm-hmm. You can still fully help out and like do all the things that you want for your best friend. But you just don't have the title.
And I would just, I'm with Tanya. Like, if it hurts, like, you're allowed to be hurt by that. But also, mm-hmm. like, you got to put your feelings aside on this and tell her, hey, I know that you're having your brother as the man of honor, but I want to step up and do whatever I can to make this like the greatest day of your life. So, just try and shake it off.
Shake it off. Yeah,
it's her brother. I remember on our wedding day, it was very, very hot the day in July of 2002 in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And in the limo, my wife had her maid of honor blowing a fan up her wedding dress as we drove from one venue to the next. Her brother's not doing that. Right. That's going to be your job. Mm-hmm. You're going to be handling all of the real duties. So that's great. You'll be there for her, and that's what matters.
Yeah.
Just know in your mind that you are the maid of honor and he's the man of honor. And even if it's not your title, that's what you need to do as her best friend of 12 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And I feel like we nailed it with the Taylor Swift songs.
It's hard when like you're just going through your Rolodex, you know.
You know, it's just, I don't know why, because I think obviously like, you know, when you're going through a breakup, Taylor Swift is just easy thing to lean on. Mm-hmm. But like I've been like listening to the songs in such a different way now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Red is just like hitting me on like such a different level than it's ever hit me before. I mean, I think I've listened to Red maybe 500 times this
but
past week.
Red was your first breakup album, wasn't it? Didn't you listen to that?
Yeah, I'm going back.
I know,
maybe.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, stands the test of time. And then there's this the other one, the one that we watched the video. You can hear it in the silence.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, that one.
This love.
This love is good. This love is bad. This love is alive back from the dead. Oh,
my God.
These hands had to let it go free. And
it's like the ukulele, but in singing form.
I'm just really finding some gems in Taylor Swift's music and her Rolodex, and just would like to say thank you again.
Okay, I might change my song for some more, because I think I'm going to do Jump Then Fall, which is an old one, but it talks about don't be afraid to jump and then fall.
Mm.
That's a good one.
Good. It's good. Mm-hmm. Well,
what Taylor song would you say represents your life right now?
If
you say White Horse, I'm going to...
Why would that be the one?
It's like just the most like fairy tale romantic song.
I'm not a prince. No, it's like a breakup song.
It is?
Yeah. I mean, where does one begin? I would say, you know, in my life right now, take out my like my relationship more so just my personal life is clean. So I'm like really ridding myself of a lot of the expectations from other people and just nice. Kind of cleaning myself of.
I love that.
Thank you.
I do. I love that. Thank it's you. A great one. Guys, care to share?
I don't know if it's appropriate in my life, but I have been getting very into Exile lately, and I know that I'm, you know, a little late to that party, but man, is that great. When he's saying, like, you know, I never learned to read your mind. You never gave a warning sign. She's like, I gave so many signs.
Mark, it is my favorite part of the song. And she's just like,
yes.
You can feel the fight of like, you never told me. And she's like, I gave you so many. I mean,
I know. It's just, I know. You guys.
It's really great.
I mean, really, I'm just, I can't. Every Taylor song just hits me right now. Like, literally every single one.
For me, the one that really... represents my life right now is a Thug Story, the one she did with T-Pain.
Yeah, a little spin on Love Story.
Yeah. I had a dream last night. I had high top Nikes. I had diamonds on my mouth and diamonds on my mic. When a time I woke, I was singing, I'm on a boat. I could do the whole thing.
I've never heard that one.
It's really good.
Oh my gosh.
I'll send you a link to it.
Yeah. That'll be immediately happening after the podcast. Well, on that note, what a beautiful way to end. What's your, or is yours this
oh,
love?
I mean,
okay.
No, it's like, it's so many. I mean, yeah, we can't even, I mean, it's Red, and it goes from Red, it goes to this love, and then.
I knew you were trouble.
That one isn't clinging to me, because for some reason, it's like very like, childish a little bit. I'm going for the deep ones, like even Tolerate It.
Oh yeah.
Like it's just, I mean, all of them. Like I just, yeah. I'm making like an emo Taylor playlist. I just like keep listening to over and over.
Oh, you're gonna
have
to make that public. A lot of people are wanting your public playlist.
I know, so you have
to work on those. We love you all so much. I hope that you have a wonderful week. Lift each other up. Be kind to each other. Show love to each other.
Yeah.
And just know that people are going through things that you may not know about. And that's why it's important to be kind all the time.
It's true.
Or don't say anything at all. Love you all so much. We will be back next week. And can't wait.
Can't wait.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.